In your Bibles, I'd like to turn this evening unto the book of Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we'll take up the narrative at verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 22. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you graven image, or the likeness of anything, which the Lord thy God have forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord God, Lord thy God, is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and asked from one side of heaven unto the other whether there have been any such thing as this great thing, or have been any heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out in the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or have God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth, beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, and his commandments which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. And may the Lord's blessing be upon the reading of his public word this evening. Amen. With the Lord's help and enabling this evening, I'd like to consider some of these words in Deuteronomy chapter 4, but in particular focusing our thoughts around verse 39. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. In this chapter in Deuteronomy, we have Moses addressing the nation of Israel. They're currently camped in the valley over against Beth Peor, on the east side of the River Jordan. They have spent those 40 years wandering through the wilderness. And now, as they approach that promised land, they're caused to put up camp at Beth Peor, and Moses is caused to deliver this address unto the people. He opens this chapter with the words, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel." He's addressing the nation as a whole here. And this chapter very much lays the groundwork for what follows later on in Deuteronomy. In chapter 5, we have the repeating of those 10 commandments unto the people live in Israel. And later on in the book of Deuteronomy, the other laws. Moses knows at this point that he will not enter that promised land. But he knows those that he speaks unto are those that have been born during those 40 years of the wilderness wandering, and are perhaps not so familiar, perhaps don't remember or don't know so much of when those commandments and the law was delivered. Therefore, Moses is caused to repeat those commandments as a reminder. But as I consider this verse in preparation and considered it in light of these words, particularly those words in verse 32, and as we enter a new year, for ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth. As we enter a new year, it is good for us to perhaps stop and consider the past, the present, and the future. And this is very much how I'd like to consider these words that are before us this evening. Israel are asked to remember the past. They're perhaps caused to also consider their present state, where they abode, upon almost the shores of the River Jordan, preparing to enter that promised land, and also the future that they will one day go up and inherit that land. And as we consider these verses, we shall see that there is one constant, one thing that remains unchanged. I'd like to start with considering the past and where Israel has been. And as I consider these aspects this evening, I'd like to try and draw out some parallels unto ourselves and our current situation here in 2019 at the commencement of a new year. And the first point I'd like to consider is found in verse 37. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Israel as a nation had been brought out from Egypt. If we go back in Exodus, we can read of how Israel had become slaves in that land of Egypt. They had been in bondage for a number of years. And that's something Moses reminds them of in that following chapter, in chapter 5 and verse 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Israel weren't left in Egypt. They weren't left those slaves of the pharaohs building the pyramids. But the Lord, via his servant Moses, was caused to bring them out. And as we see that they have been brought out, we can ask ourselves that question. Why did the Lord bring that people out? Again, verse 37 gives us that answer. Because he loved thy fathers. Israel were a chosen people, a chosen nation. And we know how Egypt is always that type of the world. So often in Scripture, when we read of Egypt, we see it as a type of the world. Abraham was caused to go down into Egypt, and we know where that led him. And we know how the type of Israel being brought out of Egypt is a type of us being brought out of the world as well. For we are also a chosen people. We have been brought out of bondage. And as we enter this new year, I'm sure we can reflect upon our lives and think back to a time when we likewise were in bondage unto the world. When we likewise sought after our own pleasures. Some of us, it would have been more recent years. Some of us, it may have been many years ago. But is not this another opportunity to reflect upon where the Lord has called us from, where he has brought us from, and acknowledge that we are a chosen people, that we are chosen, as the Apostle Peter writes, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvellous light. Israel weren't left languishing in Egypt. And likewise, we can also give thanks that we are not left languishing in sin and in bondage unto this evil world. Another way we can consider this day in our hearts is the present situation that Israel finds itself in. As they camp here at Beth Peor, Israel had passed through battles already. They'd already overcome Og, king of Bashan, and two kings of the Amorites, which were on that side of Jordan. They also knew that enemies lie ahead. They knew that that land of Canaan had to be possessed. And I'm sure in those people waiting to go over the River Jordan, the stories of those spies that had first gone into the land earlier on, 40 years before, had been told unto them. They may have heard rumours of the reports that were brought back and what was said. It may have even caused some of them to be doubting what lay ahead. But the fact that they had already overcome battles, they had already overcame that king of Bashan and the kings of the Amorites, should be an encouragement unto them. And these nations that surround Israel and lay before them, again, we can see a type of the world in them. They seek to oppress God's people. They seek to stop Israel progressing forward. They seek to mar the march of the Israelites to the promised land. And it's not like this, not like the world around us. The world does not believe. And as we cause to, and as we commence this new year, and as we consider our lot and our standing and our situation, how many of the world are considering their standing before the Lord? Rather, they're not. They are not giving any thought or heed unto the Lord God. They are seeking after their own pleasures. And many of them will even seek to walk contrary to God's word. We're told that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know how there is continual opposition to God's people. For the world is at enmity with God. And as we begin this year, I'm sure we can all think of opposition that oppresses the church. We can think of things that will seek to hinder us. But as we consider a new year and know that we still have battles to overcome, that battles are to be fought, Israel were caused to consider that the Lord had driven out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. The Lord had caused nations much more powerful than Israel to be driven out, more numerous in number, perhaps more fearsome to the people of Israel. But the Lord had caused them to overcome. And as they consider this day, this should have been a reminder unto the people of Israel that past battles that the Lord had caused them to pass through and caused them to know the victory should be an encouragement for future battles. But as they caused to consider those future battles, we know that it is only through faith in God that we can come overcome these things. For he is our help, as he helped the Israelites. And we only have to read the book of Joshua to see how, when their faith in God subsided, the conquest of the land did not go well. But as we approach this new year, let us have faith in the Lord God to overcome those trials and those afflictions. Are we not reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 of the warfare we're called unto? For we face the wiles of the devil, principalities and powers, spiritual darkness, fiery darts of the wicked. Israel faced physical conflict, physical battles. But our battles are not physical, but spiritual. And as we enter this new year, we should be prepared for those battles. Let us take past victories and past encouragements in conflict and in spiritual warfare as hope, and to give us faith for future battles, and let us put on that armour that Paul describes. As well as battles being considered and warfare, there is also departure foretold in these words. And something that struck me in preparation of these words were verse 25 of chapter 4, where Moses is caused to utter these words: ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves. It's interesting to note here that as Moses delivers these words unto the people of Israel, he doesn't say, if ye shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image. He says, and shall corrupt yourselves. There's words of prophecy here spoken by Moses. And we have the complete canon of Scripture. We can read the books of the Kings and the books of the Chronicles, and we can see how after the people that dwelt long in the land, there was departure and judgment was brought upon the land. Have we not considered this as a church on Lord's Day mornings in the life of Elijah, and how in his day there was departure in the land? And not only we see departure, it's interesting to note that Moses says in verse 27, ye shall be left few in number among the heathen. There was departure foretold and smallness in number foretold. Is not this very much like our day? I'm sure we can all think in our own minds of departure in some way or another. I'm sure we can think of departure in the state church, the so-called state church, and how that has so capitulated its position in recent years. I'm sure we can even think in those churches that call themselves Reformed or Baptistic or Evangelistic, how they've capitulated upon the truth. And I'm sure we can also feel our smallness in number. The people of Israel were told that there would come a day when they shall be scattered and ye shall be left few in number. And again, Paul, writing in his epistle, to Timothy, is caused to remind Timothy of this. In the opening of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And have we not seen this in our day? Israel were foretold of it and caused to consider it. But I also feel that in this consideration, there is also a solemn warning for ourselves as we enter a new year. As I said, we can think of departure in the church at large, but we should bring it closer to home. Has there been departure in our own hearts in the past year in some way or another? Is there still some cherished sin? Something that is preventing us from that closer walk with the Lord? Is there something that is causing us to depart? If there is, let us put it off. Let us also be on our guard as individuals and as a church in the new year, that we won't be like those spoken of in this chapter in Deuteronomy, that we will not depart from the truth. For we know that the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour, and I'm sure he always has his eyes upon his people and upon his church, seeking to cause departure from the truth where he can. But as we consider these points, and as Israel are here, having these words ringing in their ears, I'm sure some of them were caused to ponder. I'm sure it perhaps caused worry in some of their hearts, especially those words of departure and destruction. But why did the Lord ultimately want to remind them of this truth, of these truths? Turning to that verse 39 again. "Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else." The Lord, in causing Moses to deliver this address, in causing these words to be spoken, draws it to a conclusion by reminding them, by causing them to consider these words and reminding them that he is God, that he is the Lord God. The Hebrew rendition of the Lord here means self-existent or eternal God. God from everlasting to everlasting. And if we've considered some of these points from this chapter, as I said, we can draw parallels to ourselves. And the parallel that struck me most is that the God described here is the same then, has been the same God throughout time, whether it be in the 1800s, in 1990, in 2018, or now. The Lord God is still the same. As we're reminded elsewhere in the scripture, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And as we consider this, we can be rest assured. It should give us comfort that at the beginning of this year, the Lord God has not changed. These words that are solemn at times can help to give us encouragement for the year that lies ahead, and that our Lord God has not changed. As I said, Israel had been called out of bondage, out of Egypt, that country so often used as a type of the world. But just as they were chosen, so have we been called out of bondage. Just as Israel faced battles, conflict, opposition, so do we. Departure was foretold. We also see departure. Smallness in number is foretold. We see smallness in number. Can we not see? The Lord spoke these words many years ago, thousands of years ago, to that people of Israel as they prepared to enter the land of Jordan. And they can be brought right up today. That people of Israel used as a type of the church. Can we not see that this is the same God spoke here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 that we ourselves worship in this day and age? 2019, we may face battles, trials, joys, disappointments, further departure from the truth, oppression from the world and from the state. We're told we see this in the case of Israel. We're told it in the New Testament. It's particularly in Paul's writings to Timothy, in 1 Timothy. But we must remember, we worship the same God that is spoken of here. A God who is sovereign, who changes not. And he is the same God yesterday, he is the same God today, and he will be the same God tomorrow. There is still one further parallel that we can draw out from this passage, and one that should be our ultimate encouragement as we go forward into a new year. And turning to verse 38, Moses is caused to say, "To drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, to give thee their land for an inheritance." As Israel look ahead to their future, they know there is a land to be possessed, a promised land, a land that is described as flowing with milk and honey. They perhaps had a faint glimpse of that land over the River Jordan. Moses had indeed viewed the land from Mount Pisgah, for he had been told that he would not enter the land, but had been given that glimpse of the promised land. And just as Israel have not reached their promised land, we also have not reached our promised land. For is not our inheritance above? As Israel crossed the River Jordan later on, is that not so often, or is not that a type of the Christian's entry into that eternal abode, entry into heaven. But we are still like Israel, still in a wilderness place, surrounded by the world, surrounded by its temptations, tempted by sin, tempted by the devil. We face opposition, we face battles, and we're still yet to obtain our inheritance. But as Moses was caused to view that sight, as Moses was caused to view that land and given faith that the people of Israel would enter it, we through faith have been given a sight of our inheritance. And our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke of that. And in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 2, does he not remind us, does he not tell us of our inheritance? In that verse, he uses the word mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. We are told this by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by faith we believe it to be so. We're still to reach that place. But as we draw these parallels from the Old Testament, Israel, that type of the church, we pray, we take encouragement from it. For the Lord did bring Israel over the Jordan into the land. We can consider it in Joshua chapter 4, how they were led across the river Jordan. He preserved them those 40 years in the wilderness. And likewise, he continues to preserve us, his people, to this day. Has he not preserved each one of us here through another year? Has kept us? We don't know whether we'll have 40 years walking with the Lord on this earth, or 50, 60, 70, or maybe even 80 years. We do not know how many years we will have to walk with the Lord upon this earth. But we can rest assured that he will preserve his people. And he is the same God as then, same God now as then. And if he be the same God now as then, who brought Israel into that inheritance, will he not also bring us into our inheritance, that heavenly abode? And as we begin this new year, we do not know what lies ahead. We do not know how many years we have left upon this earth. But let each one of us here this evening be assured by faith and be encouraged that there is a day, and that he will bring us in that day into his heavenly abode, that is above, that place where sin, departure, and battles will no longer be, but where faith will give place to sight, and where we will see our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that this will be our encouragement as we enter a new year. We ask this in the Lord's name. Amen. Amen. In conclusion, we'll sing hymn number 824. And verse 3 and 4 in particular tie up with our theme this evening. Thus far his arm hath led me on. Thus far I make his mercy known. And while I tread this desert land, new mercies shall new songs demand. My grateful soul on Jordan's shore shall raise one sacred pillar more, then bear in his bright courts above inscriptions of immortal love. Hymn number 824. Heavenly Father, as we now begin this new year, we pray that thou would go with each one of us into it, that thou would watch over us, keep us throughout it, and that we would once again, if thou spare us another year, cause us to raise our Ebenezer and testify of thy mercies. But Lord, we pray that we would also have that faith that there comes a day when we shall pass through Jordan's water and we shall enter that inheritance above, that inheritance for thy people, where faith will give way to sight and we will be with thee. Lord, we long for the day, but we pray that thou will now be with each one of us as we go forth. And we ask this in and through thy Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.